of Philippians chapter 2. We're going to take just a little break for a couple of weeks from 2 Peter. I had intended to finish that letter before Christmas came, but I'm too slow, so we didn't. But I think it'll still be there when we get to the new year, maybe. If we're here, I know his word will be, whether we are or not. Philippians chapter 2, if you're able, let's stand together. I'm thankful for our Savior's birth, and I just want to take some time to look at this. This passage has come up a lot. It came up, I think, a couple times Sunday and again on Monday night, and so it's been on my mind a little bit. But here, Paul is writing to saints at Philippi and, by extension, all the saints everywhere. And just in case you're confused about that, a saint is not somebody who's performed a certain number of miracles and done all these things. A saint is somebody who's been sanctified by the blood of Jesus. So a saint means somebody who has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, their sins are taken away, and they've been set apart by God through faith in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. So he's writing to the saints, and here in chapter 2, he's calling them to humility, he's calling them to unity, and Paul, in the middle of that, he's just talking about being united and loving each other and forbearing and putting up with each other because he knows Christians are hard to put up with, right? Amen. If you don't know Christians are hard to put up with, just look in the mirror, friend. Amen. And or ask your spouse. It's fine. Or your siblings or somebody close to you. But he's talking about that, but in the middle of it, he says some wonderful things about Jesus. Some profound truths about Jesus, some awesome things about our Savior, and it's so profound, it's almost feels out of place to be in this thing about unity, but right here it is. And so as we're focusing on the miraculous birth and the miraculous conception and miraculous birth of Jesus this season, I hope we can understand a little bit better tonight just how much Jesus humbled himself. How low he came to save us. Philippians 2, verse 1. Let's pray, and then we'll read. And as we approach the word of God tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Philip, if you would, to lead us in a word of prayer. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Can you guys just say amen to all that? Don't just look at yourself, look at other people, put yourself down and put others above yourself. If we all did that here at the church and at home and at work, it would change everything around us. Amen. If we just put others ahead of ourselves, to seek to have that same love, same fellowship, like-minded, having the same love, one accord, all those things. Now look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. It was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus is the example for everything.
Amen.
He's given us an example that we ought to follow his steps. And here, as Paul is trying to make the argument that you need to humble yourself, that you need to be meek and lowly in your heart, that you need to have humbleness and you need to seek to put others ahead of yourself, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So don't forget the context. That's what he's trying to do, is say, you put other people ahead of yourself.
Amen.
And what he does is go to the ultimate example. You put yourself down because Jesus put himself down.
Amen.
Okay? Everybody tracking? So that's what that's the context. But we're going to focus on his illustration, just the truths of it. We don't want to forget the point that he's trying to make. You need to humble yourself because Jesus humbled himself. But I hope we can gain a little bit better understanding tonight about just how much Jesus humbled himself. Because I want to tell you this. Everybody in this room, I think, understands that Jesus is high and lifted up.
Amen.
We believe that, right? But I don't think we can even begin to understand just how high he is.
Right.
There's something wrong with us because we're in the earth and around other human beings, and we were made in the image of God. I think sometimes we get an idea in our mind. Sometimes we project some things about ourselves onto God. And just because you're made in his image doesn't mean that he's like you.
Amen.
Everybody get that? He's so much higher, so much greater, so much better. His love is more than you can comprehend. His holiness is cleaner and purer than you can ever understand. And I'm just telling you that we need to try, though. We need to try to take the things that are wrong in our thinking about God and put them away, and let the word of God fill our hearts and minds with the truth about who he is. And we need to know him as he is according to his word. And so here in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what mind is that, Paul? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And I want you to look at verses 5 and 6 and notice the nature of Christ Jesus. This is the mind which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. This word being, it means that he was continuing in existence as. In other words, he was already in the form of God before he humbled himself. Okay? Everybody get that? He was like God before he came into the world. He was like God and was God while he was in the world. And he was like him after he left the world.
Amen.
Okay? All right, how about this? He was, is, and always shall be God.
Amen.
Okay? Being, it's his existence. It's the nature of Jesus to be, what, in the form of God. Now, we use the word form differently. Sometimes we'll say we need to set a form. So in pouring concrete, you set a form so that you can pour it and it holds the shape of what you're pouring. Everybody got that right? All right, maybe this will hit more people. When you were a kid and you played with Play-Doh, or maybe this week when you played with Play-Doh, I don't know, and you had a little form and you smashed the Play-Doh in it and it took on that shape, right? We think of a form as something that represents something else, but that is not what this word means. This word form means literally the essential nature of. So Jesus Christ has continual being in the essential nature of God.
Amen.
But you get that? So we got to make sure we understand what these words mean. It doesn't mean that Jesus resembles God the Father. It means that he is God the Father. Okay? So being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, we've talked about this a lot lately. If something is equal with God, then they are God. If you're equal with God, you are God. You can't be bigger than God. The atheist likes to say, who created God? Okay, play that game for a second. If there was a God that had to create the one true living God, you'd have to have a bigger God than God to create that God. But then if you just follow that through, you'd have to have a bigger God that made the bigger God to make the bigger God. Right? Isn't that logical? If you have to have a God that's bigger than God to make God, then you have to have a bigger, bigger God to make the bigger God to make the God. It's nonsense is what it is. Listen, he is the first uncaused cause of all things. Okay? Now, there, just as a side note, just for those of you who get engaged with atheists sometimes are agnostics, and they're like, well, why couldn't the universe create itself? Well, just stop and think about the question you're asking for a second. But even people who don't believe in God scientifically don't believe that the universe has been eternal. They all believe that the universe has a beginning point. And if it began, it's not eternal. It had a beginning. So what do you need? You need something that's outside of the universe to create the universe and everything in it. And if you're not sure about what that is, go to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, outside of time, space, and matter, creates time, space, and matter. So he was equal with God. And for him to be any less than God, he's not God. And he can't be any more than God. There's nothing greater than God. So he is equal with God. And he didn't think it robbery. What does that mean? That Jesus came into the world and he made claims. I am God. I and my Father are one. I always please my Father. I am sinless. He made all of these claims, but you know what he did? That's crazy. If somebody came in here and said, I'm God, and somebody said, I'm equal with God, and I'm just like God, and I always do what God wants me to do without fail, we would think he was a liar, right? And you would be right to do that. The problem is Jesus backed it all up. He healed the blind and made the lame to walk and leap and run and the mute to speak. He called the dead to life again. And if that weren't enough, he laid down his life. And then he took it up again. Jesus Christ proved himself to be equal with God. Who can forgive sins but God? Amen. Well, what's easier? Take up your bed and walk, or your sins are forgiven? But show that you'll believe, take up your bed and walk. Amen. And by the way, your sins are forgiven. Right? This is Jesus, equal with God. Christ is the eternal, pre-existent God, and he is, was, and always will be fully divine. Amen. Okay? It's important that you understand that he was God, is God, and always will be God. And he never at one moment in any time, inside or outside of time, stopped being God. Amen. There's some really bad heresy out there that takes what we're studying tonight and tries to say that he wasn't really God, or that he became a God, or that he stopped being God, and all kinds of nonsense. Because why? Because they think that they need to figure it out. They need to be able to understand how he could be God and man at the same time. And if you can understand God, then he's not a very big God. Amen. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence. I'm just trying to say that God's bigger than we can understand. Amen. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 9. Okay. If Jesus, okay, let me ask it. Is Jesus equal with God the Father? All right, let's try this where everybody is in agreement. If you don't agree, you just say no. No, you're wrong, okay? But if you agree, say something like amen, all right? Is Jesus Christ equal with God the Father? Amen. Okay, I didn't hear any, no, you're wrong. Okay, all right, so we're all in agreement. Somebody on the internet right now is like, okay. But everybody in the room right now is with me, okay. That means that the attributes of God, the Father, are the same for the attributes of Jesus. So when I go through my Bible, if I read things about God, whether it's talking about the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, all of those attributes are the same for all of them because they are equal. All right, Isaiah 40, verse 9. Isaiah 40, verse 9. And I wish I had time to dig more into this. Because I read this and I study in this, I'm like, well, is that talking about the Father? Is that talking about the Son? Or is that the Spirit? Like, I don't know. Does it matter? At the end of the day, probably not. Like, it does because they had different jobs, right? But look at it. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, has taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him in knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as a small, as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him as less than nothing in vanity. Amen. Our God is a really, really, really big God. Amen. He's a great God. He's an awesome God. He says he meets out the water in the hollow of his hand. Can everybody just take your hand like this? Just go ahead. It won't hurt you, I promise. Play along. Look at that. God's like, this is the oceans. Amen. Have you ever been to the ocean? Some of you guys have been fishing at the ocean, and it's the Gulf of Mexico, so I don't even know if that really counts. But you can get in a boat and go for hours and hours and hours, and you haven't even started to get into the ocean. It's bigger than you can comprehend, and it's nothing to God. Like if you were thirsty, it wouldn't be much, would it? I'm just saying, he takes the dirt that's on the planet. It's nothing. It's like dust in the scale. What's dust in the scale? That's when you're weighing stuff out that's valuable. The dust that just stays on there after you dump it out, it doesn't even matter. You don't wipe it out. It's just there. It's nothing. And that's what God says the nations are. You know what most people in this world are scared to death of? Is going to war with the nations. Everybody's telling me World War III is coming. It's been coming my whole life. I'm going to tell you this. Maybe there will be a World War III. Maybe there won't. I know this. The nations are nothing compared to our God. Amen. I don't have to fear the nations. I don't care how many nuclear weapons they have. They are nothing compared to our God. Amen. He has more power in the whisper of a thought than all the nations of the world have ever had or will have. You guys with me right now? And this God, and I mean, we could go all over the Bible, right? Amen. This is just one little spot where Isaiah just really puts it out there, and I love it. I love Isaiah 40. I love Isaiah. Amen. But in creation, he says, and he made the stars also. I mean, you just think about the power of our God. Amen. And you know what he did? He came down and became one of us. So that he could be our shepherd. Did you read it? It was right there. We read it. Amen. Verse 11 says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. I'm just telling you that our God is greater than we can imagine, but he came down to us. Amen. So the nature of Christ is the nature of God. Go back to our text, Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. We saw his nature. I want to show you his humility. The humility of Christ Jesus, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here it says he made himself of no reputation, and you might have heard this phrase before, the kenosis of Christ. That's where that comes from, this phrase. He made himself of no reputation. That's the kenosis. And what does it mean? It means to empty. This phrase, made himself of no reputation, literally means to empty. So Jesus emptied himself. He did not empty himself of being God. Okay, did Jesus stop being God? I mean, or when Mary wrapped the baby in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, was he still God? Okay. When he turned the water to wine, was he still God? When he walked on water, was he still God? When he was nailed to the cross, was he still God? Amen. Never stopped being God. So in what way did he empty himself? He didn't stop being God. He didn't empty himself as the divine nature. He never stopped being God, not slightly, not for a second. But he emptied himself not by what he put out of him. He emptied himself by what he took on. Check it out. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. So all of those things, taking on the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, are the ways that he emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant. Jesus came and he said, I didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. You guys, I just don't know that we're ever going to get it. Your picture of God that's probably been messed up by some flannel graph at some time. Some coloring book somewhere probably really messed up, or God forbid, some Hollywood movie messed up your picture of God. Like if you're thinking of God and you think it's Morgan Freeman, please pray, repent now. I'm serious. Like I know we laugh at it and it is a little bit funny because it's sad, but listen, our picture of God has been brought so low we can't even begin to understand how messed up we are. Here's the truth, brothers and sisters, that I love. The truth is, our holy, almighty God, the only just thing that God could ever do for us would be annihilate us. The only just thing for God to do for mankind would be give us all death. That's what we all deserve. And maybe you don't like that. Maybe that's not very comforting tonight, but I'm not here to make you feel better. I'm here to tell you the truth. And Jesus Christ became a servant. Amen. The holy, almighty creator of the entire universe, the breather out of stars, became a servant. Amen. You remember the context? Philippians 2, you remember the context? It's about being humble. Amen. It's about you esteeming others better than yourself. And we're so prideful. We're like, who do they think they are to treat me like that? I'm not going to do anything for them. I know what they said about me. Can you imagine if Jesus showed up with our attitude? There wouldn't be any hope for us, would there? He humbled himself. He took on the form of a servant. He came to serve, being made in the likeness of men. Romans 8:3 says, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus Christ humbled himself. He emptied himself by being made in the likeness of men. He took on human flesh. He was made in our likeness. God made man in his image. Mankind rebelled against God and destroyed that image. Jesus Christ showed up and fixed it. Came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he never sinned. And so he came in the likeness of men, and then it says being found in fashion as a man. Not only did he come, but he was found as fashioned like a man. He made himself known. Amen. He didn't hide. He put himself out there. He made himself known. Even King Agrippa knew that what Jesus did wasn't done in a corner. Paul said, this wasn't done in a corner. Everybody knows. Isaiah 53, 2. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He became one of us, and he was found in fashion as a man, and he humbled himself. He made himself low. He brought himself down. Nobody humbled Jesus. They couldn't. Nobody has the power to do that. If he was going to be brought low, he had to bring himself low. And he did. He humbled himself and became obedient. He always did his Father's will. Amen. He only ever did what pleased his Father. He was obedient. In every way, perfectly obedient, even unto death. You guys remember what he prayed in the garden? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't know that I understand everything that means, but I believe at least this much. It was the cup of bitter suffering. Amen. And he says, Father, if there's any other way, take it away. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. And he was obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. You know what the death of the cross is? It's a criminal's death. You know what the death of the cross is? It's a shameful death. If you pay attention, just you don't even have to read history. Just pay attention to what your Bible says, and you know it was a death filled with shame. It was a cursed death. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree.
Amen.
And he took on our sin. We're the criminals, and he died the criminal's death.
Amen.
We're the ones who sinned. It's our shame that he bore on the cross.
Amen.
We're the ones who should bear the curse, but he took the curse for us. He humbled himself.
Amen.
The humility of Christ. And then last, let me show you this, the exaltation of Christ. Verse 9. Verse 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God the Father has highly exalted Christ the Son. That means he's exalted to the highest possible position. Luke 2:13 and 14, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the... Who's there? God the Father.
Amen.
Who else is there? God the Son.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says this. Hebrews 1:3, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Amen.
And Christ Jesus is given a name above every name. All authority, all power belongs to the Son. All judgment belongs to the Son. And every name and all of creation will bow, will worship, and we'll confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you know how low he came for you? We would think it a big deal. You read stories about things like General George Washington stopping to help somebody get their horse out of the mud. They didn't realize who it was. Our country used to tell stories like that. To show his humility, the president getting off his horse to help somebody in the mud. Like, the president shouldn't have to do that. We would think that was condescending of the president. We can't even begin to imagine the distance between us, humans, humanity, and God.
Amen.
But friends, we ought to try. We ought to realize who it is that we're celebrating this season and really all of our lives. The one we worship, infant holy, infant lowly.
Amen.
For his bed, a cattle stall. We got to think about how low he came for us. Let me read you just a few more verses and then we'll close. In Isaiah 45, verse 21, Isaiah 45, 21, it says, tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Verse 23, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear.
Amen.
Do you see it? This is God the Father. God the Father says every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to swear to me. And Paul lets you know that is Jesus.
Amen.
He is God. They are one and they are the same. In Isaiah 42, if you backed up to Isaiah 42 and verse 8, God says, I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. But Jesus prays in John 17:5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, He is the eternal, everlasting, pre-existent God, the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything that's on the earth and under the earth and in the sea. He made it all.
Amen.
He made it all for his glory. And then Jesus Christ came to redeem it all by becoming one of us, by humbling himself and going to death on the cross. I'm going to ask you to stand with me tonight. We're going to close with a word of prayer. I pray with all my heart that if you're in this room or you're watching online, that you know him, that you're trusting in him. And I hope and pray that as we continue to think about our Savior's birth and we celebrate God coming to us, Emmanuel, God with us, and we ought to celebrate that, that you'll realize just how far he came, how low he humbled himself, how much he emptied himself to come and be our Savior. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and your word. I pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me. I thank you above all things for Jesus, our Savior. God, for your amazing love, love that we do not deserve and could never earn, and yet you love us anyway. I pray that you'll forgive us for our sin. I pray you'll forgive us for the sins that we commit, the things that we do we should not do. I pray you'll forgive us for the sins of omission, when you've called us to do things, you've commanded us to do things, and we fail to obey. Please help us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us to love our neighbor as ourself. Help us to love one another in the church and in our homes, and to love even our enemies. God, help us to be ruled by love because you loved us. Forgive our sin. Help us to love you and serve you, and bless as we celebrate our Savior's birth this coming week, and as we rejoice in the joy and goodness of your mercy and love for us. Thank you, Lord. Please help us to be faithful witnesses as we go our way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.